All right, so here's my question. Do you hate yourself?
Yes.
Do you specifically hate your asshole? There's one ply in the downstairs bathroom. I was so disappointed. It's like,
oh, are you admitting
that's the type of toilet paper? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he called me ahead of time, panicked about asking for the Cokes. He was like, I can't hold this in much longer.
Prairie dogging?
That is the most drug addict toilet paper I've ever seen. Like, personally, I need at least Charmin, if not Quilted Northern. But, like, one ply is, like, the generic dope fiend-ass toilet paper that you get when you're a fucking heroin addict because you know you're
if
not
if we stick a pee under your mattress, are you not going to be able to sleep either?
What?
I got that reference. That was nice.
No, thank I you, got Jabba. That no, reference. Like, do you not enjoy a nice three-ply toilet paper like a normal American?
That's a product of as soon as toilet paper became available on Amazon, we bought what we could. And
I don't know, I understand why like, being American, American exceptionalism is three-ply.
So you're telling me that you like one-ply?
No, I'm not saying I like one-ply.
At least I understand the frantic.
I'm sure people in Italy don't like one ply. I'm sure people in Canada don't like one ply.
All right. So second thing.
You don't get one ply because you like it.
Yeah. No, that's my point. You don't get one ply because
you get it.
Out of necessity.
You get it because you had to, because who knows when toilet paper is going to run out.
Toilet paper is a lot of money right now.
I associate one ply with hating yourself. You know what I mean?
That sounds like a you problem, Zach. That sounds like it brought up some bad memories in you.
Yes.
I hate
myself, but not because of the toilet paper.
Welcome back to another episode of What Dad Podcast, bringing you the meeting after the meeting every week. Our mission is to bring you the listener, Blake, questionable entertainment, and talk about whatever the hell we want. I'm Jack.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Anthony.
Anthony, you sound a lot better today. I'm not going to lie.
It's a little then, bit in the room. You're like sitting upright. You don't look like you're hiding in a house somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
I got a better pillow, and the Blue Jackets and Lightning are in quintuple overtime, so life's good.
Quintuple, that's a word I use.
The Lightning and the Blue Jackets are playing their fifth overtime period, so like...
Oh, that was a hockey game. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, I mean, I feel like I have to look better when I'm directly facing the camera, so maybe that's improving my self-esteem.
Gotcha.
Instead of the camera being like, you know, adjacent.
Yes.
Zach, the only reason why I have a camera is because of you, because I know you wouldn't be able to do this without seeing me.
I knew you cared. All right, so Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Knock, knock.
Oh, God. This is everything I hate. Right here.
It's a doctor joke. It's not bad.
Who's there, Zach?
Not your dad.
That's so dumb. So dumb.
I could have picked either of you.
Well, if it's not my dad, who is it then?
Can we make that a t-shirt?
What? Knock, knock. Who's there? Not your dad.
Not your dad.
That's funny. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, probably not. That was completely stolen.
By whom?
Pete Davidson also has a dead father.
Oh, yeah.
He's fucking hilarious. I saw that in one of his movies, and I just fucking cried laughing.
Was it the King?
Was it the Fireman movie?
Yeah, it was the King of Staten Island. Great movie. Yeah. If you like his,
I haven't seen it.
Watch it. It's fucking good.
Right. So now we have two King of Boroughs in New York between Queens and Staten Island. So it's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time until we get the Queen and Manhattan.
Yeah, we got all four boroughs.
Queen of Manhattan.
There's five.
I feel like that's called the Real Housewives.
What'd I say? Didn't I say five?
You said four.
You said four.
All right. So, Zach, what are...
No, five is in overtime.
Your words today?
Auspicious?
Close.
Indicated... How do you say that word?
Auspicious.
Anthony?
Auspicious.
Boom. I don't actually know who won
that. No, correct. He sided with me on
boom,
that.
Self-roast.
Auspicious. Those are rare. And recapitulate.
Recapitulate.
God damn it.
That one's...
Recapitulate.
I like think that one's harder to say than use.
That's like the opposite of a preamble.
Preamble's a hard word?
No, I said recapitulate is the opposite of a preamble.
Kind of. I mean, it's a summary.
Yeah, but if you're going to summarize something, there's the assumption that you've already finished what you're summarizing.
Right.
Or it would come after.
Yes.
And that's how my brain works.
There you
usually
go.
Usually in a published journal entry, a published journal or published like paper, there's usually a summary in the beginning of what you were about to read. So I would argue against that it is the opposite of a preamble.
Mr. Published Journals over here.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, Jack. Hey man, all I'm saying is that two out of three of these people in this room on this Zoom call actually went to college.
I've been to college. Rain. You know that, right?
Yeah, for like a semester, right?
To sell drugs.
That counts as college.
It does.
Well, hold on.
Technically, the college you went to is now your alma mater. Or no, sorry, you're an alumni. Even though you didn't graduate.
Also,
I find that hard to believe. Like, people at Loyola Marymount, the school that kicked me out, well, they'll be like, oh, you're an alum. I'm like, I am not an alum. I was kicked out.
Technically, you are.
That's such, I can't get my head behind that.
Did they take your money?
I'm still paying the money.
So then you went there.
No, I have no problem.
So you're still stupid.
I have an issue saying that, like, I'm an alumni. Because in my mind, right. Alumni means you, like graduated.
Does it make you feel weird and old and bald?
No, it makes me feel
just
weird.
Just like I'm not an alumni of Syracuse.
Yeah. Like, it makes me feel like a fraud. They're like, oh, he's an alum. Because I work with LMU. They're like, oh, he's an alum. I'm like, I know. You personally kicked me out. You can't claim I'm an alum. So.
I think I'm going to be with Anthony on this one.
Just so you can say you can go to college.
Hey, well, I mean, more on your topic. But
English as a second language, by the way.
How is what?
The first day of English as a second language.
Dude, okay, here's where I'll actually identify with Anthony for a little bit. I've never had more anxiety than trying to find a classroom on a campus that I've never been to before.
I'm going to side with you on that as well. That's like, never fun. Yeah.
Never fun. And it was like in the center of the campus, or as far as, you know, that portion of the campus that I was on, that shit's terrifying, dude. And then like when you walk into a classroom that has like seven people in it, like my idea of a college classroom is like a lecture hall from like a movie. Right. And like I walked into like this tiny classroom with like seven people in it, and I just kind of sat in the back, and then like the one other white person that came to the class sat next to me, and then like I spoke to her and I was like, yeah, you belong in here. And I was confused. She also did not speak any other languages. She was just really slow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't consider that the college. If I say I went to college, that's not really what I think of.
You think of just straight up trapping up in Santa Barbara?
All right. Never lived in Santa Barbara. Just dated a girl that lived in Santa Barbara.
Wait, didn't you go to school in Santa Barbara?
San Luis Obispo.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Close. No, but I went to LA Trade Tech.
Oh, gotcha. Where's that located?
South Central.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I wonder if I'm close to it now.
Probably.
It's literally right up the 110.
Okay.
It's like Fig or something like that. I don't know what the exit is, but like, it's like.
That sounds closer to USC.
I
want to
say like, yeah, it's like a 10-minute walk from USC.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So for the topic of the day, guys, for all the listeners out there from Ireland and Blake.
Blake. I'm calling today.
Oh, dude, you're going to drink. All right. So Topic of the day is a question that I found on the internet that I thought was really interesting. It was a simple question that somebody asked a forum. It just said, if I join a 12-step program, will I be missing out on my friends and a lot of fun? And I was like,
Did you recapitulate your experience to them?
No, it was on a forum. I don't know, that nerd that goes on the forums.
Wait, and you just said you found it on a forum, you're not the nerd that goes on forums?
I Googled it.
And don't use nerd as a pejorative term. I love that word. I say it all the time.
As a what term?
Nerd.
I use that word correctly.
Was that last week?
No, it wasn't. It was a couple episodes ago.
Did he use it?
Pejorative?
He used it more correctly this time than he did in the episode it was assigned to him.
You assigned that word to me?
I remember you saying like, oh, I actually know this word.
And Jack was like, not as sure.
I'm still not sure.
I think you kind of used recapitulate correctly too. You just didn't say it right.
Yeah, you didn't say it at all.
Hey, close enough. You know what I mean?
I wasn't going to correct you because I didn't know how to pronounce it myself. So I was like, I'm going to let it slide. All right.
So you're being a nerd on a forum.
I Googled and I clicked on it and it was a forum and I was like, oh, that's an interesting question. And then I didn't read anything else.
Wait, so what's the question?
If I join a 12-step program, will I be missing out on my friends and a lot of fun? So, I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting question. And I actually love when newcomers kind of ask similar questions. I work with a lot of newcomers, ex-clients, so does Zach. And it comes across a lot. So, what do you guys think?
I mean, for me, there's a massive assumption in that question, which was assuming I had friends at the end. In the first place, like I had no friends left by the end of it. Like,
what did you do? Did you have friends at Syracuse?
Did you have friends? Not at the end, no. In your addiction, did you have friends?
I did, but by the time I got sober, I didn't. It was like,
caught up on the word friends? Did you have social acquaintances?
Did you have people that just were there that you could drink with?
No. Were you alone in a room full of people?
I have experienced that. That is an awful, awful experience.
I was alone in a room by myself doing acid. It was not fun.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun, dude.
I can't start off doing acid by myself, but like at the end of the night, if I end up by myself, this is what usually happens.
Well, yeah, because usually you're with the person. Like every time I did acid, I was always with somebody. And then it was like, 15 hours later, you know, you've stayed up all night. Yeah. You're like, I guess I should go to sleep. It's 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And then you lay in your room for like, I don't know, another 3 hours just watching stuff move. You know?
Thinking about the internet.
Sleeps ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so Anthony, what was your answer to the friend question?
I mean, I worried about missing out on having fun. And I would be like, well, what if I have, how am I going to possibly have fun with my friends? And then someone who'd heard my story would usually point out to me, be like, you didn't even have acquaintances. Like you drank so much.
Wait, so how long were you at Syracuse?
Wait, how are we back to the college years? Questions?
Because that's when he got sober.
Yeah.
Oh. Don't you know your friend's story?
Honestly, I just call them college. I don't know what college is. Besides the fact that you mentioned LMU in every other breath,
I'm not an alumni. I'm there. They kicked me out. I rep Antioch University. That's where I got sober. My alma mater. So like seven short years to get through college.
Hey, compared to how long it's going to take to pay off your debt, those are 7 very short years.
That is a fact. That I do not, but it's true.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, yeah, I really struggled with when I initially got sober, like everything seemed so much less interesting because I wasn't high. I was just like, what's the point of going to a movie if I'm not going to be high? What's the point of going to work if I'm not going to be high? What's the point of getting out of bed if I'm not going to be high?
What was your job on campus?
I consistently forget that when you talk about using, you're talking about smoking weed.
Primarily also acid. You mentioned that as well.
Yeah, but acid's not like a drug that you do all the time.
Debatable.
I tried.
When he's talking about waking up in the morning and getting high, he's talking about smoking weed.
Are you pulling the like the 25-day sober, like I'm a better addict than you because I did heroin instead of weed? Is that what you're pulling right now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you gatekeeping my recovery?
This is why he's
sorry my life wasn't nearly as much of a shit show as yours, Zach.
Your whole argument's bullshit.
If it betters your life, I'm all for it. It's just I consistently forget.
Wow, Zach, you are shaming Anthony's sobriety.
Dude, I consistently forget that he was, oh yeah, he's back. Yeah. I forget sometimes because I hang out with
him. Okay, hold on.
Anthony, we can hear you perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Could you?
Yeah.
Yeah, the entire time.
Sorry, Zach, if you're gonna play that card, I'm gonna play that card.
Wait, what's the card you played?
Oh, did you not hear me say, I'm sorry my life wasn't nearly as much of a shit show as yours?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I definitely agree with that as well.
Yeah. I can't believe you're shaming somebody who has four times as much sobriety as you do.
Okay.
He does not have four times, but...
We got 2 years, right?
Jack, we all only have today.
That's so lame, dude.
Yes, but I've had today for 8 years and...
I'm not going to lie. I kind of hate it sometimes when, like, somebody who has, like, who's talking just, like, at a meeting, they're like, yeah, I have 20 years, but I never say I have 20 years. We just have today, guys. It's like, oh, that my God. You? It bothers me so much.
I'd
much rather have today after 8+ years than today at 4 days.
Well, here's the reason why I hate it. Two reasons. It's pretentious as fuck. Days?
No, I was saying I'd much rather have today at 8+ years than have today at 4 days.
Yes, like, and that's my other reason. Sure, yeah. That's my other reason. Because if I'm going to talk to somebody who's 20 years versus somebody who am I going to listen to? Somebody who's 20 years, somebody who's 4 days. Okay, like you both have today. You're completely ignoring the fact that somebody has 20 years and the other person only has 4 days. Like that's I hate.
Well,
it.
In that scenario, the clarity of the person with 4 days is probably not the same as the person with 20 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just so pretentious. It's like, we all have today, guys.
I'm sorry. I totally took that left field.
What'd you take left field?
Anthony was sharing his experience of not having friends.
Yes. And Zach was calling me a fake drug addict.
Not a fake. I just, I forget that you, like, I forget that you were a stoner sometimes.
Like, you have so much junkie pride, Zach.
I mean...
Hey, Zach, did you ever overdose?
I mean, I've fallen out. I've never woken up in a hospital.
How many times would you say you probably overdosed?
What do you mean?
Like, have you ever overdosed? Like, I mean, you could overdose and not end up in a hospital.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a few times that, like, so, like, before I went into treatment the first time, I was supposed to be babysitting my mom's dog, and my brother came over because no one could get a hold of me, and he said that I was sleeping. And that, like, my face had turned blue, and, like, he couldn't wake me up, and he was beating on my chest. And then I woke up a couple days later.
I was sleeping. My face turned blue.
And I woke up a couple days later.
I mean, I came to eventually.
Oh, you came to. Okay, that's different.
I mean, he wasn't there. It was the next day. He just left me there. My friend told him I was fine. I don't know.
So, I'm sorry. Your brother left you in an overdose.
I'm assuming he left me. He wasn't there when I woke up.
And you weren't really there when it was happening, so.
Yeah, exactly.
What? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. You're lucky to be alive, okay? You're on borrowed time, my friend.
Oh, yeah. That stuff happened all the time.
Damn, dude. You know what I say to, like, you know what I like to say to opiate addicts? Like, because I deal with a lot of opiate addicts at my job. And a lot of people love to brag about how many times they've overdosed.
Yeah, I never really understood that because I didn't really, like, identify with being Narcan and waking up in a hospital.
Right.
Because that sounds awful.
It does sound awful. It ruins your high.
Yeah.
That was why I loved weed so much. That never happened.
You can't get Narcan out of it?
Yeah.
You can smoke yourself sober. You ever do that?
I forgot how to walk once.
I forgot how to speak in English once. It was great.
That's amazing. I just
ended up in class with Zach.
That's a good one.
I was the biggest lightweight on weed, dude. Like, I was the most worthless human being when I smoked weed. It's like, it was just bad. Like, there was one time my roommate and I made tacos. And
that's right. That's right. America.
My roommate at the time, he must have been like 19, and he was like, we got super stoned. And he was like, Jack, the only job, he knew I was worthless when I was high. He was like, okay, look, I'm going to give you the simplest task. I want you to put the taco shells in the oven. That's it. That's all I want you to do.
He had to remind me,
no joke, 8 times to do that while he was cooking tacos.
Did you just eat them?
No.
Instead?
Okay. Yeah, so they were hard shell tacos, like, from Ralph's. And I put them in eventually, and we got into a conversation, and then I forgot about them, and they were completely burned. And my roommate was so angry at me for the rest of the day. Like, I could not do 2 + 2. Like, it was, like, that was just me usually. And, like, I didn't like feeling that dumb. So I always, that's why I always drank more. And then when I found amphetamines, you know, I was the smartest person in the room.
You could take those taco shells out perfectly.
I take them out perfectly. I would be sweating because I'd be so focused on those taco shells.
You'd cook like 800 taco shells.
I'd cook 800 taco shells in about 5 minutes.
You know, this just made me think of, like, now that I'm sober, like, in hindsight, like, when I see someone that's stoned, like, you know immediately when someone's high on weed, you know, or any drug for that matter. But, like, I was getting high at such a young age, and I used to love getting really high before going to, like, a family event and then, like, trying to pretend that I wasn't high. Like, I can only imagine, like, what my family was actually saying and, like, knew. You know what I mean?
First time I got high and went to class, it was like a 12-person class, which was my first mistake. I sat down directly across from the teacher. The teacher gets up, walks around, sits down next to me, sniffs the air, and says, "Someone smells like someone's been eating sandwiches," which I guess was a How I Met Your Mother reference.
Yeah, yeah. Totally How I Met Your Mother reference.
And that's, I was awesome. Like, nobody has any idea, man.
Oh, my God, dude.
That's hilarious.
Senior year especially, like, the teachers didn't even say anything anymore. Like, I just consistently smelled of weed. And I wasn't ashamed of it. I was so proud to smell like weed, like, such a fucking asshole.
Yeah, because you have that junkie pride that translated into fentanyl, and you make fun of people who just smoked weed now.
Dude, I wish I could have just smoked weed. If I had just stayed at weed, I'd probably still be a stoner now. There's so many similarities.
I hated smoking weed like 3 days in a row. I couldn't do it. I could do maybe 1 or 2 days in a row, but on the third day, I was just like, I feel so dumb. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I that was kind of what got me, was like, after doing that for, like, you do that months at a time, it's like that just starts to add up, and you're like, everything's fine, I'm just smoking weed. And you, like, can't even, like, get up to go to the bathroom. You just pee in bottles because it's like just like that too much effort.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, I mean, I was drinking a lot at the end too, but, like,
Is that why you didn't have any friends? Because they'd walk in and there'd be piss.
Oh, nobody was allowed in my room. Not in any way whatsoever. Because, like, you know, years.
So did you have a roommate in college? Like,
not my last semester, which lasted about 7 weeks.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Wait, Anthony, you're an only child. Jack, do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have an older brother. Right?
Did you ever smoke with him?
No, my brother's lame, dude.
Well, isn't he in the seminary? He's like,
yeah,
super.
He's a preacher boy. Preacher man, sorry. He really hates it when I call him that.
Yeah.
I'd imagine he'd hate preacher boy more.
Yeah, so that's why I switched to preacher man.
You just call him Preach. What's up, Preach?
I never thought of that.
It sounds country, too.
Well, he's in Vancouver, Canada.
Canadian?
Married a Canadian. Why do I keep looking at this? All right, so. Yeah, no, I never smoked with my brother. He one time told me his one weed story after I got sober. He, like, called me when I was maybe, like, a year sober. He was like, dude, I finally tried weed. I was like, okay. And he told me the story. He was like, he and his, like, best friend from college, you know, like in their late 20s, like met up and they like, we're going to get some weed brownies. And they did the classic rookie mistake with weed brownies. They ate one. And after half an hour,
I don't feel it yet.
I don't feel anything. So they ate another one.
Yeah.
And his best friend's wife started puking an hour later. He was like paranoid and freaking the fuck out. My brother was like freaking the fuck out and eventually just like passed out. You know, I was just like, and he was like, that was terrible. I'm like, yeah, that's because you don't start with edibles. Like,
edibles are intense, dude.
Edibles are really intense.
I can't handle edibles. I remember my first time in Beit Shuva, I got a pass to go to Disneyland with my mom and my sister-in-law, and they both took edibles, and my mom had a panic attack. It was hilarious.
You remember Hubby Bars? Like, before, like, they, like, started regulating how much THC they could put into, like, the chocolate bars in California?
So I never really enjoyed the Hubby Bars. I'd had them, but
they were terrible.
7-Up cake. What do you mean by terrible? Like, they were just
That was, like, again, remember, I was a lightweight on weed, right? Yeah. Like, I could drink a bottle of Jaeger, blow a .28 and be like, and? And, like, that was kind of me. Or I could stay up for 10 days at a time and be like, you know, but with weed, I was such a lightweight. I ate, like, one part of a Tubby Bar, and literally, we went to a double-feature drive-in movie theater. I can't remember.
I always wanted to go to a drive-in movie.
It's pretty cool. But we went and saw Star Trek.
Sounds awful.
And I, after, what, are you not a Trekkie?
No.
It's a two-person podcast now.
Yeah, this is a two-person podcast. Yeah, this is why you're not.
Oh, you're kicking me out?
No, this is why you're not in Richmond, dude. No, I'm not. I'm not a Trekkie either. I just love giving people shit when they're like, "I'm not a fucking Trekkie." I'm like, all right.
Dude, you guys got so offended when I said I didn't watch Avatar, the cartoon.
Yeah, it's like the greatest thing ever, dude.
I've never even seen it, and I know this.
You also have to remember, dude, I am a nerd for animation. So, like, the last 2 months, my wife and I have just been watching cartoons, and it's been awesome. It's been, like, you've been watching The Sopranos, and your roommate gives you a lot of shit for that. I've been watching cartoons.
Sopranos is fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you.
I still understand why he's giving you a lot of shit for it. It is a fantastic show.
I think so, too.
Anyways, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So, Star Trek. And I like, jumped out of the car at one point. I was having a panic attack. I was, like, dry heaving. And all I remember are explosions from that movie. Like, that's it. It was not a fun time. Not a fun time.
See, I was the dumbest fucking stoner on the planet. And I grew up in California and have lived in California my whole life. And the only time I smoked weed was in upstate New York, so I have no idea what a Hubby Bar is.
You didn't miss out, dude. It was
really.
I mean, I got high on summer too,
push,
but yeah.
Push down the junkie pride, Zach. Push it down.
No. That's just California weed is widely known as being superior than the East Coast.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not to say I never smoked in California, but it was like I never got a medical card because I was only here for a couple months at a time when I was using.
I got a medical card the day after I turned 18.
What was your condition?
I don't know. Anxiety?
Bad back?
It was anxiety?
Yeah, I have no idea what it was. I don't remember. But, like, I'd gotten a possession ticket the day I turned 18.
Or like that's hilarious.
So the next day I went and got a weed card.
I know how to fix this. I'll just get a weed card.
I tried to, manipulate it, and so it didn't work. Yeah.
Don't criticize.
Gotcha. So, in terms of getting sober and missing out on all these fun times.
I definitely had that feeling the first time around, you know. Thinking I'm going to miss my friends. I'm going to miss the lifestyle. I'm going to miss doing hood rat shit with my hood rat friends. I love that fucking kid saying. It's so funny.
What does hood rat shit look like outside the grounds of Northrop Grumman? For those of you that don't know who Northrop Grumman is, it's a...
talking about by my mom's house?
This is Jack, where you grew up.
Jack's favorite go-to of Zach being a Manhattan Beach gangster.
Yeah. Jewish gangster, by the way.
Jews can be gangsters, first
I'm not
of all.
Saying they can't. I've seen Peaky Blinders. There's the Jewish whiskey guy. played by Tom Hardy, whom you want to bang. So,
I was going to say Jonah Hill in Wolf of Wall Street.
That's not a gangster. That's just...
Bro, that's gangster as fuck. Oh, and his Jewish friend, who's also the Punisher.
All right, here's a question. Can white-collar crime be gangsters? No, I'm sorry. Can there's a clear yes. That's a clear yes, I was just saying. can stock traders be gangsters?
I mean, are they essentially, they are.
Are they committing crimes in an organized manner?
Have you ever seen Malibu's yes. Most Wanted? Where the gang literally starts trading stock?
No, actually, I've never seen that.
The Sopranos, they have a stock fraud. Something.
Yeah.
In like all right, we'll clear that on the season. Asshole here. Okay, let's move on.
Yep, 2/3.
She's got 2/3 of shit out of right there. Jesus.
Yeah.
I feel like Zach. God.
Wait, so what was the question? I totally spaced
out. You were talking about missing the hood rat lifestyle.
Outside the grounds of north of Grumman and east Manhattan.
I mean, look, we did some pretty scandalous shit, but like, I don't
did you steal a sign? Like,
I've stolen plenty of signs.
Continue.
But you know, there's just like a certain feeling when you're like high, drugs in the car, with people that are like, you know, I can't get pulled over otherwise I'm going to jail because I have this warrant and a felony, and you know, I'm not trying to like just say awful things about myself, but like there's a certain high to just living a certain lifestyle.
I can agree with that.
There's definitely a rush to sort of, it's like a counterculture feel. It's like I'm living outside of the established norms of society. There's something fun about that.
Like, you know, like when you win, like say you have like $10 and you walk by a fucking craps table and you drop it on the field and you hit and it's a fucking 11 and it's or 12, I'm sorry. And it's like four times your money. That $100 just turned into $400. That's right. The high to that feeling.
Of course.
Like when you're ditching what you're supposed to do to make quick money doing something illegal, and any step along the way, it could be serious, you know, punishment for whatever you're doing, whether it be your parents finding out or the cops finding out or the deal going wrong. Like everything's on the line. Da, da, da.
Zach, you and I would not have hung out when we were getting high. I was the last guy you wanted around.
Dude, I was very fortunate to, like, the people that, like, got me set up doing certain things were, like, so cool. Like, the nicest guy. Like, okay, so he's dead, so I can talk about him, I guess. But I met this, like, Middle Eastern guy named AB, who was, like, my dealer for, like, a really long time. I even tried to set him up with my mom. My mom had met him. She didn't know what he was doing or what I was doing, but like, I remember the first time I met him was because I was picking up drugs off his friend, and his friend had gotten arrested, and he's like, yeah, he's not coming back. You deal with me now. And he just gave me a box, and he said, take this box to this address, and if you do that, I'll give you this cigar box filled with Norcos.
Okay.
And I did it.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, like that... But he was so nice about it. Like every time I go to his house, he'd like, hey, you want a hookah? He'd give me, you know, and we would just like hang out and smoke hookah and be social. He'd ask me how my mom was. Like it was.
Did you say you tried to hook your mom up with a drug dealer?
Yeah.
Nice.
Another person who also died.
It was already just like. Your dad was a drug dealer, and you're like, hey, there you got similarities.
Like, no, he was genuinely a good guy. Like he would do anything for his kid. He had a kid in college. He wouldn't let me sleep with his oldest daughter. Like he was a stand-up dude.
Wouldn't let your junkie daughter. Ass sleep with his daughter.
He,
I don't know if that makes you a stand-up dude more than just a smart dude.
Well, and like he was very family oriented, which is like a huge thing for me for some reason.
Because you never had that.
Yeah, probably. I mean, exactly.
Was he a father figure to
you? I'm not trying to throw gas in the fire there. I'm just that's.
Oh, he was for sure a father figure if I have to choose one. he was cool as fuck. All
right.
Yeah.
I definitely remember getting some questionable father figures later in life after my dad died. But yeah, I get it. What was harder for you first time around? Giving up like the lifestyle or giving up the drugs?
Well, the first time I got sober, I knew I was going to get high again the entire time. Like, even when I tried to say I was enjoying being sober, like, I knew that I wasn't going to stay sober. I didn't know when I was going to get high. The lifestyle part, I never stopped talking to my drug dealer the first time because I had, like, these convoluted thoughts that, like, me and him were friends. Yeah, so, I mean, like, I was still kind of, like, making drug deals my first sobriety. I was just middlemaning them and not, you know, being there for the actual activities.
So it sounds like the lifestyle was the harder part to give up, because, like, you gave up drugs for a year, even though you didn't want, like, weren't planning on staying quit, but you, like, kind of stayed in the middle of it all.
I'll put it this way. My first amends, you know what? I think that might have been my second sobriety. Yeah, that was my second sobriety. Whoops.
So your first real amends.
Well, I mean, all right. So my sponsor at the time was like, look, I asked him, I was like, hey, I owe my drug dealer quite a bit of money. do I have to pay this person back? Last time I got sober, I owed some people some money for drugs, and they said, just put it into like the charity of your choosing, drop it off at a church, a synagogue, you know, donate it somewhere. And I did that. But my second time, my sponsor said, that man gave you a service and you owe him for that service.
Really?
Yeah. And so like in
sobriety, I've never heard that a sponsor say that.
Yeah. And I went and I paid my drug dealer back. I think I owed him like $900, and I paid him back in two sittings. The first time I gave him $300, and the second time I gave him $600.
Were you worried he was going to like have any retribution against you or what?
I'm oddly comfortable in those situations. I really wish I could show you a picture of him, because you would be like, what were you doing hanging out with this guy?
I don't know.
Just because that's how you know me.
My wife asks me that all the time when you're around, so.
what are you doing with this guy?
I don't think I look scary, though.
You're a big dude, man. Okay,
big with and scary tattoos. Are two very different things.
None
of them are gang related.
I have a fucking
shark.
You dude, have sharks are scary, dude. Jaws made a whole generation never go to the beach again. Okay, remember that.
Gooks.
Son of a bitch. Did you see that happen?
No, I was laughing.
Wait, hold on. Is your wife scared of me?
She was. You're a large man, Zach. My wife is only like 5'2".
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm not threatening towards her. I believe I was very kind.
No, you are. You were. You know, it's just, you know, my wife can be, you know, she went to an all women's college. She never really had any male friends. She still doesn't really have any male friends. So like men intimidate her just in general. So, and then
you're saying I'm too masculine that your wife is scared of that. That's so weird.
No, that's not at all what I said. She doesn't hate men.
There's too much man. Not your too much.
She's commenting in the background now. She doesn't hate men. She's just, you know, her entire life she's been around women, and you know, you were just larger than most men.
Awesome. Can we just bring her in here for a minute? Like, I want to hear
let me ask.
I want to hear what her first impression was.
Can you like clarify this?
Tell her to speak into the
mic. Zach asked if you were afraid of him.
And what her first impression was.
I already told you that. She thought you were Mexican.
I want to hear her say it.
I want to hear her say it too.
You gotta come over here and speak into the mic.
She said she hates you.
No, she said my debut. Wait, you made the debut the last time about the beard thing, right?
Did that make it to air?
Oh, that's totally made.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, it definitely has to be on
there. It's gonna have to be on there.
All right. Yeah, they're all looking at you.
See, this is intimidating. Coming into your cool hip guy podcast.
That's the new name right there.
I find all men intimidating and scary. It's not, it's not personal. But Zach, you do look scary, I will say. You especially look scary. And you're so much taller than me. I'm afraid of anyone who's taller than me.
I have the same fear with horses.
Men in general.
Kara has the same fear of horses too.
I don't like things that are bigger than me. I get it.
They're not, I'm not afraid of horses.
You are definitely afraid of horses.
I'm not afraid of them. I just respect that they could murder me.
Yes. Yes. All right. So first impression.
First impression.
I'm required to remember the first time was the first time I met Zach at Super Bowl this year? Did I meet him before earlier?
Probably the Super Bowl.
Well, that was very intimidating because I was coming from my fun, like, theater romp with my aunts and, like, slightly wine drunk to your, like, super masculine event where
you drove to that wedding. Or not the wedding, but the party.
Sausage Festival party? Yeah,
well, I mean,
party?
I'd had the wine, like, 3 hours before. Theater is long. But, like, you know. And, yeah, coming into your, like, we've all eaten, like, 80 pounds of meat.
It was a good night.
The only other woman there was Anthony's fiance, who had been there the whole time and so was much more comfortable. Yes, I felt intimidated because I was coming into a very male space.
To watch football.
The most manly sport. And all of you were not appreciating how hot Jennifer Lopez was in that.
No, I'll back you up on that. Yeah, I'll definitely back you up on that.
Yeah.
No, we're all in agreement on that.
Well, yeah. I didn't feel like I could vocalize it because I didn't want y'all to be like, "Oh, Jack, your wife doesn't like you. She only likes ladies."
Oh my God. Jack also likes to throw in that you thought I was Mexican.
Well, I apologize for that.
Don't apologize. We all thought he was Mexican.
Literally, true. This is what we all thought. Everyone makes that mistake until they realize that the camel on my necklace is indeed a chai and not a camel.
Think it's a camel?
I've gotten a lot of camel.
Wait, show it.
I don't think I've ever even noticed this.
Although
I don't think it looks like a camel.
I do appreciate Zach putting in one of the stories a picture of him and being like, "How Mexican do I look?"
Yes, that was on.
Yes, I saw that. I thought that was directly related to me.
No, it's directly related to everybody who's ever met.
That's a question that I get all the time. I literally was talking to this girl for a couple of days, and then she goes, "So, what ethnicity are you?" And I was like, "Believe it or not, I'm white." And she stopped talking to me.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I wasn't Mexican.
I'm sorry, Zach. That didn't work out for you.
Yeah. No, I get that question all the time. And I just happen to be holding a chihuahua, so I figured that's like the perfect time to post that picture.
Oh, Lord. All right.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome.
Your first impression of Zach.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
That was very close to Karenifying. So.
Does she get very offended if you ever call her Karen or Susan?
Susan
don't like these terms.
She's even yelling at me right now. I'm not a Karen. I'm like,
I told you, girls don't, or women, I'm sorry. You guys
yelled at me. You can say girls, that's fine.
Anthony had a problem with it last time.
Did you?
No, my pet peeve is when people call women females.
That's very two different things.
I think I called a girl a chick, and Anthony got very mad at me. He goes, "They're women."
No, it's literally only when you say females. Because it drives my OCD up a wall.
Why? Women are indeed females.
Yes, but there's a word for a female human. It's woman.
And I don't have a snappy comeback to that.
Yeah. It's my job to get words right, so.
All right. So, where are you going, Zach?
Nowhere. God damn it.
All right. So, when did you guys feel like you started to have fun again in sobriety?
I never didn't have fun. Like, if I don't have fun, I'll go fucking relapse.
I honestly started having fun. Like, I really leaned into other vices, like eating and smoking cigarettes. And, yes, and masturbating, Zach.
There's a lot of masturbation.
But only two of those three things that I do with other people.
Like, and that was
No, eating and smoking cigarettes.
Okay.
And it was like,
you can do all three of them alone.
Yes, that's true.
Or you can do all three with people.
Or all at the same time, even.
Now we're cooking with fire.
Yeah, but that was like, that was kind of what was fun. It was like finding other people who also were maybe in a similar position of being like, fuck, I'm missing out on life because I'm not getting high. And so then all of us could be like, well, none of us are getting high. So let's go put bacon on everything we order and smoke half a pack of cigarettes outside of Swingers at 2 in the morning.
And those were the like, best times, dude.
You know, it was like, and like nobody in my life was like, you shouldn't be smoking cigarettes, you shouldn't be overeating, and you shouldn't be staying out until 2 in the morning. Because everyone was like, really, you shouldn't be doing drugs. So all of
these. Wait, so who? When did people start saying you shouldn't be smoking cigarettes?
Always.
For me, I found that being sober is like the one time where people were like, all right, fine. Like, even my mom was like, if you have to smoke cigarettes, smoke cigarettes. And my mom would have fucking murdered me if she'd caught me smoking cigarettes at, like, 16.
I wish I had that experience.
My mom gave me my first cigarette.
Really? Your mom smokes?
She did.
Nice.
She did. Now, dude, my mom gave me, I was, like 17 or something. And my mom used to let me drink in the house. Like, she'd, she would come home from work, and I'd come home from soccer practice, and she would get me 2 Heinekens. And so I'd drink Heinekens, and then one day, you know, we'd sit on our balcony in the Virgin Islands, and, like, she'd smoke cigarettes and drink some wine while I had a beer. And one day I was like, hey, Mom, can I have one of those cigarettes? And she, like, without pausing or anything, was like, here you go. And, like, handed me a cigarette. And,
you know, that actually kind of sounds really sweet.
Yeah, it was a cool moment.
Kicking back after a long day, your mom from work, you from being a kid, just drinking together.
Yeah. Dude, my mom was definitely my best drinking buddy for quite a while. But yeah, so it was kind of weird when I gave up drinking. I was really worried about how that would, like, affect my mother and I relationship. My mom just, like, quit drinking and smoking like it was nothing. I was like, really? Like, you don't have a problem with this. I'm the asshole in here. All right.
You get a bit of resentment about that?
I did. I went on my first day, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
But every resentment I had towards my mother, like, my sponsor was like, dude, quit being such a bitch. Like, that, like, yeah, the only time, like, my sponsor's like the nicest, like, was caring human being. But like, anytime I was like a resentment towards my mom, he's just like, the fuck is wrong with you? Like,
well, yeah, because I'm sure at that time you hadn't realized that your mom is a person herself and not just your mother.
Oh, for sure. 100%. And my sponsor, like, never really said that to me. He was just like, dude, it's your mom. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Dude, I've really got to commend my mom for, like, not smoking weed with me. And she said she didn't want to smoke weed with me until I was 18. And, like, she kind of gave in on that. I think I smoked with her when I was, like, 15 or 16. But, like, she held out for a really long time where we, like, both knew we smoked weed, but, like, we didn't do it together.
What's it like smoking weed with your mom?
I mean, so it was kind of like, so this is like part of the reason why, like, it was difficult for me to understand sobriety a lot the first time around. The second time around, I had an understanding of it. The first time around, like, smoking weed with my mom and my brothers was like a bonding moment. Like, we could, like, be fighting or, like, you know, arguing about something and just, like, pause and go outside and, have a conversation, because that was like the code that we used when my little brother was really young. And we'd go outside and have a conversation, we'd smoke a joint and just, like, chat and have a good time. It was like bonding, you know what I mean?
Was, like, that weird when you got sober then? Were you like, how am I supposed to, like, bond with my family?
So in the beginning, they would just smoke and I would smoke a cigarette or vape while they smoked weed. So, like, we still kind of have that, but it's not the same. You know what I mean? Like, now if my mom does smoke, she just kind of, like in secret, like, you know, it's not like how it used to be where we would just, like, smoke a fatty, you know?
Right. Like, I remember the first time I went home for Christmas, I had, like, 11 months sober. Actually, no, my brother and my mom came out to Los Angeles, and they got, you know, they were really weird around me when it came with alcohol for a while, which I don't blame them. But they came up to me, like, And one afternoon, we're like, hey, and real quiet. And they like brought me, they made sure no one else was around. And they were like, hey, so what do you think if we get a bottle of wine tonight? Would that bother you? And I was like, I kind of chuckled. I was like, no, of course not. Oh, they said, let's get, if we got some wine. I was like, okay, no problem. We went to the liquor store across from my sober living. And I was in there like looking at chips or something. And they came back out of the wine section holding one bottle. And they were like, we're ready to go. And I was like, just one bottle?
Like, the fuck is wrong with you?
That's it? Like, we used to drink like bottles of whiskey together. Like, what is this? Yeah. Turns out they drank that much because I was drinking that much. And I was always the one that got it.
Because you were instigating, yeah.
I was the instigator, for sure.
Yeah, I was always the instigator with that stuff. You know what's weird? It's like, my mom doesn't even drink anymore.
Neither's not.
As soon as I started getting sober, she was like, oh, it hurts my tummy. I'm like, okay, she does have some issues around that subject, but like, she doesn't drink anymore. You know? It's weird to me. Because like, all my memories, like when they dropped me off at college, like my memory was like my mom and her friend, who also has the same name as her, putting lawn chairs in the front yard and drinking a tall bottle of Kettle One from Costco, like that big bottle. Mm-hmm. I just remember them getting shit-faced, you know? And now she doesn't drink. It's so weird.
Just like that. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think sometimes when, like Zach, you're the only sober person in your family, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my stepsister has Down syndrome, so she doesn't drink or use.
I could have sworn you told us a story about how your sister got
she did when she turned 21 in Mexico. Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
But I think sometimes, and Anthony, your whole family.
My stepdad is the only one in the immediate
family. Stepdad's the loser in the family. All right.
He'll have a beer on occasion. I don't get it.
I don't get that either. But like sometimes I think, especially in like Zach and my case, is like if somebody had gotten sober, like I think it was a, I don't know if it was a wake-up call for my mom, but I think it made her pause and be like, wow, I am drinking a lot. Maybe I should not do this and go do something more with my life. So I think that phenomenon can happen, especially if there's only one person in the family who's getting sober.
So I used to identify the amount of fun that I was having by how fucked up I got.
Oh, yeah,
it same. Didn't matter what it was. So I think that's like part, I think like that has to do with why like it means so much to me to have fun in sobriety. That's why I, you know, do the things that I do. I go shooting, fishing, tattoos, video games, like
start. Is getting tattoos guys, fun?
Like, yeah.
Like, do you get a little bit of like an adrenaline rush or something from like your body's response to being poked and prodded for 2 hours straight?
So here's what I do. I have a little bit of anxiety when I get tattooed that I'm going to run out of my pod before I'm done getting tattooed. Because if I'm not hitting this the entire time, like it gives me something to do. But like I remember when I was getting my chest done, the tattoo artist was literally like standing over me tattooing my chest. He goes, dude, I'm so getting you laid right now. Like girls like tattoos. That was a statement. Is your turn yes. to talk?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't have any tattoos. I can't.
My fiance has a few, and I think she's.
Yeah.
She will be. I think she's kind of in the same boat you are, Zach. Of like, just do it already.
I mean, look, like for me, certain places hurt more than others. Like the ditch in your arm, like the opposite your elbow, like your elbow armpit, like that shit sucks. Like your right weenus. There. No, not your weenus, but like the opposite of your.
Yeah, your weenus.
Okay. No, the, like the crook of your arm.
Yeah, it's called the ditch. It's
called the weenus.
No, where you shoot heroin.
Yeah, the weenus. You shoot heroin in the weenus.
Zach, oh my God. Jack, it's a really good thing you never shot drugs. You might be dead.
Yeah. Or have like a really bad fucking abscess right there. But yeah, that part really sucks. Your wrists really kind of suck, but like for the most part, like my chest, I fell asleep during part of it, and then like the inside of the arm, like that was fucking I couldn't stop laughing at giggling. He's like,
oh, is it ticklish? Because that's where I want to get my first one. Oh, fuck.
Oh, it's so ticklish, dude.
Oh, fuck.
All right. Well, so if you guys had to, like, say somebody that's new or somebody who's, like, thinking about getting sober and they ask you guys that question, how would you respond to it? You know, like,
wait, what's the question?
Like, will I be missing my friends and missing out on fun? Like, how would you guys just, like, gut reaction be like, that might not be true. Here's my experience.
I mean,
go for it.
Okay. Like the question that was, I think I touched on it, was like, that was asked for me was like, honestly, where were the friends and the fun at the end? Mm-hmm. And like, that was enough to be like, so it's like, just have them answer that question. Honestly, it's like the last time you got high, were you actually having fun? And like, at the end, were you actually having fun? Like, what do you think you're getting out of it this time that you didn't get out of it to such a degree that you needed to get sober? And it was like, I wasn't, by the end of it, I wasn't missing anything. There was nothing to, I mean, I still wanted to do it, but like, if I could honestly sit down and answer that question, it was like, I was just, all I was missing out on was being fucking miserable.
So for me, it depends on like who I'm talking to. Like if I'm talking to someone that like I know is going to have to go out and like learn for themselves before they get it. Like for someone that I think is probably going to end up relapse and then come back to the rooms before they get it, I'd probably say, look, you're going to have a miserable time until you get sober. And they're going to be like, oh, but I am sober. I'll be like, no, until you like really believe, you know? But for someone who's like on the path of like staying sober and is just legitimately asking how to have fun in sobriety, like, I'm just going to say like, I wish I was in your position, because like, that's where the fun begins when you're looking to create a life for yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like the faster you can, I mean, honestly, my advice now is probably go to men's meetings, because I didn't do that for the longest time. And like,
after, I feel like a newcomer, if you tell them to go to like a men's meeting, they're like, I won't get laid.
Right.
I mean, however you can, you know, detail that it's a very auspicious road ahead. You know, like I definitely enjoy my fun more now than I did in my sobriety, because it's genuine fun, unadulterated.
You nailed that, by the way.
You got it totally right. I mean, the thing that took me a while to catch on, that like, I don't really know how you convey this to somebody, but it's like, the fun comes from connecting with other people. Yeah. Like, and yeah, how do you convey that? It's like, it's such a hard esoteric concept. It's like, it's so hard to be like, yeah, the reason I have fun when I hang out with you guys and we're watching football is because we're all connecting on a human level. Like, there's no way to make that sound cool to somebody who's like got like 60 days.
It makes the little things fun. Like in, like before, if I was going grocery shopping, I was going grocery shopping because it was a task, because I needed to buy food. Now, when I go grocery shopping, especially if I'm going grocery shopping with friends, and especially in early recovery, when you're like, I was in treatment, so I was surrounded by people and I hardly ever went out by myself. I would go to the supermarket with people and I'd like push the carts into them, throw a loaf of bagels at them, trip them. I'd be like, you know, this person's stealing. Yeah, but that shit's fun.
Sounds like you were being your old bully self.
That shit's fun. I mean, how much more interesting does it make it when we're in a meeting and you go to stretch and I like tickle your armpit? You know what I mean?
I mean, depending on where you are, it could be creepy or it could be arousing. You never know.
No, I'm asking you specifically. You giggled like a little schoolgirl.
Yeah, because I'm ticklish.
And it was funny.
God, I hate when people ask you if you're ticklish. Because it doesn't matter if you say yes or no. They're just going to touch you.
You just got to say, like, I don't know, it's my kink or something.
Or you just look them very straight in the face. You say, don't touch me.
It doesn't matter. I'll still do it.
Don't touch me or I'll start touching myself.
Dude, I don't know why this just popped in my head, but like, there's this girl at my treatment center today who like wanted me to read her meeting format because she was so proud of it. And I'm like trying to read this thing. And she's like leaning over to me where her like boobs are like a millimeter away from my arm. And I just stopped what I was doing. I was like, take a step back. She goes, that doesn't say that. I was like, no, take a step back. You're in my personal space. She goes, God, I wish I could have boundaries like that. Like, you just told me to back up. I'm like, yes, do it.
That's, I'm actually kind of proud of you for that, Zach.
Yeah, well done.
Well done.
Because you could have just as easily told her to take a step forward.
I mean, I'm assuming Zach probably would have said something a little smoother than that. But seeing as from our last episode, Zach's clearly the one of the three of us that has game. So,
right.
I mean, I think one of you, I don't know which one of you is an underdog that's just going to surprise everyone somehow.
In terms of what?
I mean, it's I'll probably never see it because both of you are spoken for, but like, you didn't get your ladies by accident.
No, we got them through dating apps.
Yeah, specifically Coffee Meets Bagel.
Yes.
All right, I'll fucking download it. Hint taken.
I mean, don't do it unless you want to play the field for a little bit longer. Once you download that, you game over, dude.
Honestly, like, I'm nervous to talk to you guys about my dating life because you hold it against me. And
when do we hold your dating life against you?
Might have a little fun with you, but we don't hold it against you.
Episode, like, seriously, the girl that I'm talking to right now, I've barely even spoken to her, but like, I think she's super cool.
Aw,
well, that's good.
You in love?
You guys. Well, see, this is why I don't talk to you guys about this shit.
What do you want us to say? Like, quit being a bitch?
Quit being a bitch and fuck her.
Yeah. We could do that too. You don't learn her name, Zach. Just fuck her.
I legitimately had to ask her how to pronounce her name because I didn't.
What is it?
Not saying it. Yeah, but dude, I literally had like an hour and a half conversation with this girl just in GIFs.
This one. Mm.
Yeah. Modern mating language.
He showed me that text message about chain, by the way. I didn't understand a single thing that was happening.
Seriously? It's the best
because,
conversation.
Because like, here's the thing with GIFs. You're like, they're within the context of the conversation you're already having, right? And if you're without that context and it's only me, it's only GIFs, like you're just like, from an outside perspective, you're just like, all right, that's Steve Carell doing something. That's a dog doing something. That's.
All right, so first off, that's like the main reason why I want this podcast to go to video because like 90% of language is not vocalized.
Whoa, hold on. Where did you get that stat?
Fuck off. I'm just throwing a number. I was trying to sound confident. It didn't work. let's bump it down to 70%, all right? I'm just saying there's a lot to be said about nonverbal communication.
There is. I will give you that.
Yes. I like how you phrase that. There's a lot to be said about nonverbal communication.
as counselors, there's definitely...
Counselor?
Counselor?
Sorry.
Anthony, are you a counselor?
No, we went over that. I failed miserably.
you are trained to look at what is not being said.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean like... Dude, first off, there's a million amazing gifts. And she only like... went whoa, too far once, and I'm pretty sure it was sarcastic.
Is that the one line in the entire text chain that was actual words?
Yeah.
Or was it a gif of someone going whoa?
I think it was both.
That's all right. That's pretty good. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I mean, Zach, if you're happy. We're happy for you, man. Like, if she's clearly ruining your life, we're gonna let you know.
Well, not yet. This one, I mean, look, she has a couple of kids, so like.
So you're like, in.
I have a couple friends in. We all have a couple friends that do not have a very fun home life at the moment. We can just say that, and we've all told them that, like, hey, look, your home life isn't that great, but they are kind of maybe stuck in it, so. I really cannot give any more details.
You're being so vague that
I don't want to do any more details.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me afterwards.
Oh, we'll tell you tacos.
Yeah.
No, then I'm left out.
Well, Anthony, you're going to be home Saturday. Like,
yes.
Deal with it. All right.
Yeah.
So, Anthony, one last thing I do want to talk about.
Yes.
Is
fantasy sports ball?
Yeah, fantasy sports ball. You wrote anxiety. Dude,
I am so excited for this year.
This is why I'm so anxious about it. So,
why are you so anxious about it?
Because right now we've only got seven people. And there are a couple people who expected to be in who aren't going to be in. A few people just never responded to me, which always makes me.
Why'd you hit everybody up personally? Why can't you just hit us up like in a group chat? Like, hey, nerds, this is what's going on.
No, because I don't want all the messages back.
Yeah, because and then when the two people are like, hey, I'm not going to be part of it, I have to create a new group chat. So I'd rather have.
All right, so we have seven people.
We have seven people.
How many do we need?
We're not playing an eight-man team. We need at least 10 minimum.
Why?
We could do eight, but the roster would be expanded.
That's why.
But 10 would be really the minimum.
Who said no? Okay, we can't name on the podcast.
But I mean, really, the reason it's giving me anxiety is organizing gives me anxiety. But
you're the commissioner.
You're the commissioner of every year. You're the commissioner of the softball team. You're like a real Rob Manfred.
And this year we actually have.
How dare you? You're out of both leagues.
and this year we actually have a smoker.
What?
We have a barbecue smoker now this year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We do. Sure. But it's like organizing things gives me anxiety, but I always seem to be the one who ends up doing it. So
because you're good at it.
Apparently. But I went up a real roller coaster of we're not gonna be able to do fantasy football to we're gonna be fine doing fantasy football. But that's why
originally I was under the understanding that this is a hot seat fantasy football league. Is that still a thing?
90%. I have a couple of friends outside of the meeting.
So this is just Anthony's fantasy football league.
Yes, because I am the one who organizes it.
Well, can you organize some people that we all know?
I try, but a couple of them have opted out for this season.
All right.
So I'll wrap up with this.
Before we wrap up.
Well done. What do you got, Jack?
Oh, no, I just wanted to say it.
So what I was going to wrap up with, guys, is basically to any of the listeners out there who are struggling maybe with that, you know, missing old friends or missing on fun. I'm just going to say this. I was, when I got sober, I was part of a fraternity, like 88 guys. I was convinced all of them were alcoholics. Turns out I was the only one.
Sorry.
Hilarious.
True. And, when I got sober, not one of them ever really showed up for me after that.
That's a really good point.
We talked a lot about in the fraternity about brotherhood, about showing up for your brothers, being brothers, doing brotherly stuff. And then the minute I got sober and the minute I was no longer going to be partaking in fraternity activities, not one of them ever showed up for me again. And I can say this, my groomsmen, two of the guys I met in sober living and two of the other guys I met in the rooms, right? Not one person from college has been invited. And, you know, I don't think people wanted to be my friend at the end either. I'm not saying that they're all terrible people. I was much worse of a human being at that point. But at the end, like Anthony, I didn't really have any friends and no one showed up. So the 12-step promises have come true for me, where it talks about finding a host of friends, watching people recover, and working with newcomers, the bright spot of our lives. That has come true for me. And for anyone that's listening and struggling, you know, early sobriety can be a lot of fun, and a lot of it's not fun because we have to do the work. And that sucks sometimes. But it's a means to an end, and I have a lot of fun now. I get to enjoy fucking around with you guys, going on hikes with Chuck, paddleboarding, cooking. I went paddleboarding with Zach too.
Oh, I learned how to stand up, bitch. What's up?
I missed it. I was bummed. I missed
expert steps.
Dude, you seriously got to go. It's the most peaceful thing. And there's just like, I don't know how to say this appropriately, but there's just beautiful women everywhere.
That is true.
Like, there's these three females.
Son of a bitch.
There's these three women doing yoga on their paddle boards. First off, how the hell do they do that on a paddle board? Second off, how are the boards not moving?
Oh, did
they like
anchors.
Tie an anchor?
They have an anchor.
We
paddled by them when they were coming in.
Yeah, I bet you did. It's gorgeous.
I was asking how much it cost, and
Dude, seriously, I cannot wait to go again. I'm so glad that they got that board fixed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go Anthony. Tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right. What time? Tacos tonight and going to paddleboard tomorrow. Anthony, what are you doing? You want to come?
Excluded.
I'm too thirsty, bitch.
Too thirsty. All right.
And on that, we will end.
Okay.
Thank you, listeners, once again for listening to another episode of What Dad Podcast. If you want more entertainment, or questionable entertainment, as we like to call it, please check out our Patreon. Please give us money so we can buy more stuff for this podcast to bring you more questionable entertainment. Please also check out our email at whatdadpodcast@gmail.com. Please check out our Instagram, where we post all the wonderful, wonderful content that we have of Zach and his selfies at What Dad Podcast.
What Dad Podcast is brought to you by Unwritten Content, which provides content marketing and copy editing. I help people and businesses who are experts in their field express their knowledge in a way that is entertaining and informative.
What Dad Podcast is also brought to you by Keep Left Recovery, a sober coach and sober companion and counseling service located on the west side of LA. Keep Left Recovery specializes in helping young people embrace recovery and helps them tell the stories they did not know they had inside.
Helps you assuage through life.
All right. You come and pick me up or what?
Yeah. Do you mind taking a little drive first with me?
Some
cigarettes?
I just need to run to Santa Monica and pick up a box real quick.
What?
I forgot Chuck's igloo and I need to pick it up for my work. Dude, it'll take 30 minutes. There's no one on the roads.
Oh my God.
I'll drive really slow. I'll smoke a cigarette. I know you love that.
I do love them. I miss them.
Don't tell my mom.
Although you smoke like lame cigarettes.
I smoke amazing cigarettes.
You smoke bitch cigarettes, dude.
They're so good.
No, he smokes a Turkish Silver?
No, I know. That's light version. Brand.
So good.
They're so nasty, dude.
Can I just say, like, my teeth look so much better on this video than I was expecting them to?
Did you get your teeth whitened?
No.
All right. I'm going to stop recording.
Mexican complexion.
It is the Mexican complexion.